from coast to coast all across the United States and Canada. This is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank serves as president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry that is here because truth matters. If you'd like to talk to Hank, then call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. On day 19 of our journey to the heart of Christmas, I talk in my devotional about the giving of gifts. The Apostle Paul said, "Just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving." But yet some of the most troublesome aspects of gift-giving are the materialism and commercialism that are so inextricably woven into the fabric of Christmas and, of course, the attendant pressure of giving gifts to others out of a sense of obligation rather than freely out of love. And while we can all identify with that kind of pressure, it is important to recognize that perversions do not in and of themselves invalidate the practice of giving gifts. As followers of the one who gave himself for us, we ought to exude the very notion of giving. As such, having the unique opportunity of giving to ministries that propagate the gospel of giving to the downtrodden, of giving to family members and friends, should overwhelm us with joy, especially when there is no expectation of giving to get. Jesus' teaching in this regard are instructive. While dining at the house of a prominent Pharisee, Jesus admonished the guests, saying, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the cripple, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Talk about an eternal perspective. Far from suggesting that it is inappropriate to show kindness and generosity to friends and family, Jesus highlights the reality of genuine kindness and generosity motivated by love for others, as opposed to the expectation of favor in return. So this Christmas season, may we give with a grateful heart, as too we have been given. Far from a burden, giving can become an extraordinary blessing. As such, whether you are inscribing a Christmas card or purchasing a gift for a loved one, do it all with a grateful heart, with a song upon your lips. And when you give to the needy, remember the words of the greatest gift of all: "Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Again, day 19, on our journey to the heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. It is available. You can give it as a gift, but time is short. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just pick up the telephone, talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up today, Angela, listening in Coconut Creek, Florida, on the web. Hi, Angela.
Hello, Hank. I just so appreciate this opportunity to speak with you. You have been a blessing in my life for many years, and I just so thank God for just the gift of Hank Hanegraaff to the body of Christ.
Well, thank you. You're kind.
Thank you. I have a question regarding the Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. I recently attended a church, and they were serving Holy Communion that morning. And as their elements, they use, instead of the, you know, the grape juice and the bread, they use water and bread. And it kind of, you know, disturbed me. And I did participate really against my will, you know, just not wanting to kind of stand out and look so obvious, you know, as not participating. But I did so. But it grieved me because, you know, I just felt like it was not really a Holy Communion. I did not feel like I had really partaken of the Lord's Supper because, you know, in the Lord's Supper, Christ said that he would not drink of the fruit of this vine. You know, and when I think about the fruit of the vine, you know, I did my research and I know how the Lord's Supper is the Old Testament Seder, and you know, and the wine represented the blood, you know, and it's the whole Passover thing. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because other than that, the church is a wonderful church.
Yeah.
But I just feel like it is such a spirit of error there in terms of that particular ordinance, you know, and those are the two ordinances that Christ left, baptism and the Lord's Supper. I mean, we just got to get those two right. And
yeah.
So I just wanted to get your take on that.
Sure. Angela, I really respect your feelings and your passion in this regard, but let me say this. What's of paramount importance is that you celebrate the Lord's table in a rightful manner. In other words, it's ultimately the state of the heart, and that the symbols ultimately have to give way to what they represent. So they give way to what you so beautifully communicated, the broken body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the propitiation, for the atonement of our sins. So I'm more concerned about a proper message that attends the elements than I am the constitution of the elements themselves. So again, I would feel strange as you do, but I would feel very badly if the message was inappropriate and not in concert with the biblical parameters that surround the taking of the bread and the wine. Which is to say, ultimately, it's not the elements that are of most import. It is what they point to and the proper teaching that surrounds it for the believer. But that does not negate the passion that you feel when you have sort of an odd symbolism that is shown. So I certainly respect your feeling, but I'm, again, more concerned about the teaching that surrounds the elements than the particular elements themselves.
Okay, and that's wonderful, because that leads to the second point on the same subject. When I did inquire about the elements with a deacon of the church, I asked, you know, about that, and he said that the pastor told him that they take the water because out of Christ's side on the cross, blood and water came out. And I was just kind of struck, dumbfounded, really, because, you know, in essence, that's just taking the whole theological context to a totally different level. I mean,
yeah, I don't think that the pericardium becomes the appropriate reason for why you're using water as opposed to blood. I think that is a strange way of looking at it. But look, talk to your pastor about this with gentleness and with respect. Maybe he was misquoted. Maybe he was misunderstood. I think to go directly to your pastor with meekness and respect would be the best thing to do at this point.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And just one other thing, I found a little bit more information on the web about about another organization, the Mormons. It's my understanding that they use the water and bread in their elements. But as I kind of read a little further, you know how the Mormons believe is not lining up with Orthodox Christianity. So it just kind of, you know, it just left a kind of bad feeling. But thank you. You've given me some wonderful clarification.
Well, God bless you, Angela.
Yeah,
thanks so much for your call. Merry Christmas to you. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Johnny, listening in New York, New York. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, it's Joni.
Oh, Joni, I'm sorry.
Thank you for taking my
call.
That's all right.
Just my question is, been going to this church for about a year and a half, recently became a member, and everything's been going okay and fine, but then all of a sudden I found out that they're kind of into the faith healing teaching where all you need is faith and you're healed. And they're, in my opinion, they're kind of distorting what Isaiah 53:5 is saying. By his wounds, you know, you are healed. When I always thought of that as you were once spiritually dead, but because he died for you on the cross, you are now made alive, right? Because it was by his wounds that, you know.
Yeah, it has spiritual healing in mind, and certainly if you look at the passage in context, that becomes abundantly clear.
Yeah.
And the real problem that you have here is that the faith message distorts the meaning of faith. To them, faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, you can create your own reality. So if you have enough faith, you can have perfect health and perfect wealth, but the faith is not faith in God, it's faith in your own faith. And so there's a distortion not only of the biblical passages, but there's also a distortion of the actual biblical concept of faith.
Well, my question is should I stick with the church, or maybe I should go to another church that maybe, you know, better represents, you know, a topic like that, or am I maybe being a little too nitpicky? I don't know what my best, you know, discourse would be at this point.
No, I don't think you're being nitpicky. The Word of Faith movement is a very aberrant and sometimes heretical movement, and therefore I wouldn't want to be involved with the Word of Faith church. One of their favorite proof texts is what you point to, Isaiah 53:5, which says, "He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed." But if you look at the context of this passage, Isaiah couldn't have made it any clearer that he had spiritual healing in mind, because he's communicating that Messiah or Christ was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And Peter builds on that understanding when he says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." So again, Peter's theme could not have been stated more clearly. He says that Christ bore our sins, not our sicknesses, and therefore makes it plain that the healing referred to in Isaiah 53:5 is spiritual, not physical. Now, what's interesting is if you go to the verse immediately preceding Isaiah 53:5, it does speak of healing for the body, where Isaiah writes, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted." And not only is physical healing crystal clear in the context, but it is also affirmed by the Gospels. But it is given an important qualification. Matthew writes this, "When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick." And then says Isaiah, "This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases." So the healing mentioned in Isaiah 53:4 was fulfilled during the healing ministry of Christ, and consequently does not guarantee our healing today. So again, the entirety of the Isaiah passage, as well as the Peter referent, precludes the meaning that the faith teachers give to healing. And the problem here is so horrible, because there are a lot of people being told that if they have sickness, it is a direct result of the fact that they lack faith. So they're trying to conjure up this force of faith, which again is mythological, not biblical, but built out of a post-Christian worldview, where people don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth.
Yes, and I think what prompted this thing that I found out, this what I've heard about this faith healing, is because, and I don't claim to be a Bible scholar at all, to me this is common sense. Being a Christ follower, a Christian, all I said, which to me is logical and sensible, is I said, in all things, it is always according to God's will. And, you know, I realize I can back that up with James 4, I think it's verse 15.
Yeah, you can, and that's the operative phrase, according to God's will. I'm going to have to cut it off at that because I'm coming up to a hard break. Good talking to you, Johnny, or Joni, and we'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff's latest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, is the third volume in a trilogy dealing with the three great apologetic issues, origins, resurrection, and the reliability of Scripture. In the first book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, Hank shows that naturalistic evolution is much more than a theory about man's origins. It is a comprehensive worldview that determines how you live your life. In Resurrection, he demonstrates that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the capstone in the arch of Christianity and the hope of the believer. Without resurrection, there would be no Christianity. Now, in Has God Spoken, Hank validates the supreme authority of sacred scripture. Through memorable acronyms, he refutes modern skeptics and equips you with the assurance that God has indeed spoken. You can order this trilogy in a special package from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or order online from our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, Equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At Equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make Equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. At the Christian Research Institute, we would like to say thank you to all of our faithful supporters who helped us erase our operational debt last year. Although our debt was eliminated, we still had to pull back our broadcasting reach due to economic realities. But as we near the end of 2011, our goal is to reclaim the land that was lost and press on into new areas of ministry as God provides opportunities. Together, we stand on the verge of taking the truths of God's Word to more people than ever before. But to make this a reality, we need $500,000 by December 31st. Every gift matters, so please be a part of this exciting step forward with your gift today. Call CRI at 888-7000-274 or donate online at equip.org. That's equip.org. today's pop culture, Lady Gaga is an enigma that's hard to ignore. With her outrageous, ever-changing persona, what makes her obscene brand of art so popular? Perhaps her twisted message of freedom from repression resonates with many young people who are navigating gender confusion, sexual dysfunction, and the absence of parents. But Gaga's idea of freedom is a far cry from the traditional paradigm, endorsing unrestrained promiscuity, drug abuse, and hedonism. In the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, Mark Sayer's article, A World of Gaga, takes an unveiled look at this icon of pop culture. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Let's get back now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Remember, your questions answered today when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265, and I think I will be here for an extra hour once we go off the air as well, so you can continue asking your questions for an extra hour today. Also want to mention the journal. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine, and you can give a gift subscription for the holidays and enjoy our special gift subscription rate of $28.50, more than 30% discount off the newsstand rate. You have to have a discount code. It's JNLGEB12. I guess you can see that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Also, a quick note that January 13 through 16, I'll be training students to think, dream, and lead through comprehensive and practical leadership skills at the state-of-the-art Student Leadership University. Your student will be equipped to lead from a biblical perspective with skills that will help them more confidently face their future. So please join me. For more information and to register, you can go to studentleadership.net or just check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Again, I will be at Student Leadership University January 13th through 16th. That's coming up pretty soon, so register as soon as humanly possible. Let's go back to the phone lines. Next up is Don in Harper, Kansas, listening on KCVW. Hi, Don.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Question is what is your opinion between Calvinism and Arminianism in it regards to predestination and eternal security?
Yeah, well, I'm neither a Calvinist nor an Arminian, and these are theological categories that may or may not reflect what John Calvin or Jacobus Arminius believed. So there are theological categories, and not all Calvinists are created equal, nor are all Arminians. They have varying viewpoints, various nuanced belief systems within those categories or within those theological structures. So I'm neither one of them, and therefore I don't hold to their views. I believe in Christocentric election. I believe that Christ is the elect one. He is the royal seed of Abraham. Abraham only had one seed. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise, whether you're Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free. Unlike many Arminians, on the other hand, I do not hold to the fact that you can lose your salvation. Not all Arminians believe that, but many do. I believe that once you are saved, you have everlasting life as a present possession. So there are a lot of nuanced views in both categories that we could discuss over time, but I think what would be most helpful is a debate that we conducted in the Christian Research Journal in this regard, which has a good Calvinist and a non-Calvinist debating these issues so you can test them in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good.
Okay, thank you, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Appreciate your call. Also want to mention this. This afternoon, I was dedicating books to Christians who give $100 or more for the Complete Bible Answer book or one of my other books to a family member or a friend, and I do that every day. And while I was autographing, I came across one that I was personalizing, and there was a message the person asking me to autograph or personalize their book, said this: as a former Jehovah's Witness, I appreciate the gentleness by which you approach correcting the false doctrine, which is cleverly knit into the teachings of the Watchtower Society. I am one out of a large three-generation family of Jehovah's Witnesses who has been saved. I have much work to do with the help of God, and ministries such as yours help me reach my family members. Praise be to God for raising up servants like yourself, and I'm sure he's talking about not only me, but those that work with me at the Christian Research Institute and those who support this ministry prayerfully and financially. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Linda in Utica, New York, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Hank. Oh, it's good to talk to you.
Likewise.
Well, this is the question. Are you legally married without a state license, even though you had a church wedding before God, or are you playing house, or are you legally bound?
Probably playing house. I mean, look, you're not legally married. Many states do not recognize common law marriage. Some do, but most do not. And you need to check specific requirements of each state in terms of what it entails to be legally married. But certainly, if you're in a church and you make vows to one another, I would say that you're married in the eyes of God, and you are, unfortunately, in violation of the fact that God set up the governmental authorities as well. And as long as the governmental authorities do not violate the law of God, we ought to adhere to them, as Paul makes plain in Romans chapter 13.
Romans 13, okay, because I was looking at 1 Corinthians 7 about being bound to each other.
Yeah.
27, are you bound to a wife? And I was wondering, does that mean they're bound?
Well, I would say yes. I mean, if I stood in front of a pastor with a Bible in my hand, and I looked a woman in the eye and told her that I would care for her and nurture her and honor her through sickness and through health, for better or for worse, until death parted us, I think I'm obligated to do exactly what I told her I would do.
Okay.
But then I wouldn't be in this conundrum, because I would have also made certain this was legally binding as well.
So they can really walk away from each other if they wanted to without...
Exactly. And that's what's, you know, so unfortunate. I mean, you have to put up some barriers to that because of human nature. All too easily, you know, we're prone to walk away from one another because when you get married, two imperfect people come together in a union.
Right.
And they're rubbing the rough edges off one another. If both of them were identical, one of them would be unnecessary. And right. When you go through this this pruning process, it's easy to look at the grass that looks greener on the other side of the fence. Most of the time, it's just dead, but it looks greener to you at the time. And so it's easy to walk out and fail to recognize that commitment is the ultimate binding power of a marriage. So love ultimately means commitment. Love is not just a feeling, it's a commitment. And the feelings actually come as a result of the commitment. They're not the commitment itself, right, but they exude or they flow forth from a commitment. I mean, there are times in every marriage where you scratch your head and say, why did I do this? Mm-hmm. But if you are committed to one another, there'll be another time that you say, how could I have ever thought that thought before? How'd that thought ever come into my mind? I mean, feelings ebb and flow. They're notoriously unreliable, and that's why commitments become the bedrock to solid marriages, and marriages are the bedrock of a solid civilization.
Okay, so they're married, but they're just not, didn't do it by the state, and it's...
Yeah, you'd wonder why.
Well, I had to ask, because I didn't know, so I thought I'd ask. I thought it was a good question.
Well, appreciate your call, Linda.
Thank you. I'll call again.
Okay, Merry Christmas to you. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Will, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, listening on KQCV. Hi, Will.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
I have a question, sir. Have you heard of or are you familiar with Pastor Joseph Prince out of Singapore?
Well, I am. I've been to Singapore a number of times, and I am familiar with Joseph Prince and his ministry. And unfortunately, he is in the Word of Faith category that I write about in Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. So it is not a ministry that we recommend at all.
Okay. I seem to take you more as a grace minister than a faith minister.
He does make a lot out of grace, and sometimes appropriately so. But he is a faith teacher as well. He has all the trappings of faith theology as part and parcel of what he's teaching.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. Talk next to Harold, Dayton, Ohio, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Harold.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I got a couple questions. I go to a church, and they don't believe in Christmas. They say somewhere in there that the Bible talks when Jesus was born. It was on a warm summer day. And I was wondering if there's any way you might be able to help me talk to them and, you know, give them passages or something to where they would understand about Christmas or something.
Yeah, well, I've written about this in The Heart of Christmas, also written about this in an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. But here's the bottom line. The real date is missing the point, because Christians don't think that they can pinpoint the actual date of Christ's birth. I don't know the date of Christ's birth. I'm not absolutely certain of the year of Christ's birth. I have a general idea based on the time markers and the details given in Scripture, but I can't give you the exact year, much less the exact day. The reason that I celebrate Christmas on December 25th is as a rival celebration to the paganism of the world, as first manifested with worshiping a false emperor who falsely claims that he has the prerogatives of God. So Christianity, is, in its historical purview, is a rival celebration against a pagan tradition, and therefore that particular day was selected. Certainly paganism has encroached on our worship of Christmas once again. People don't say Merry Christmas anymore, they say Happy Holidays. But this is still an opportunity to use the Christmas tree, a wreath, all of the trappings of Christmas traditions, and point back to the real meaning, which is Christ, who invaded time and space in the first Advent, who we celebrate in the present Advent, and who will come again in a second Advent. So I think the people who are against Christmas worship, they have a point in that they don't like the paganism, but that's not the point of why I celebrate Christmas or why December 25th was originally chosen. It was chosen to celebrate the real King who invaded time and space and in whom we can have eternal rest. The one who lived, who died, who rose, who ascended, and who is coming again to put all things to right. Again, I've written about this in several places, one of the primary places is The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season available through the ministry. Again, I'm going to stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air today. We'll continue taking your calls. So here's the number to dial for now and for the next hour. We have one more segment left today, and then an hour after that, 888-ASK-HANK, that translates to 888-275-4265.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
You've just heard Hank Hanegraaff's dramatic reading from the Heart of Christmas audiobook, a 2-CD devotional for the season. Order the audiobook or the beautifully presented The Heart of Christmas gift book by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. Don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after this. the Christian Research Institute, we would like to say thank you to all of our faithful supporters who helped us erase our operational debt last year. Although our debt was eliminated, we still had to pull back our broadcasting reach due to economic realities. But as we near the end of 2011, our goal is to reclaim the land that was lost and press on into new areas of ministry as God provides opportunities. Together, we stand on the verge of taking the truths of God's Word to more people than ever before. But to make this a reality, we need $500,000 by December 31st. Every gift matters, so please be a part of this exciting step forward with your gift today. Call CRI at 888-7000-274 or donate online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
A 2002 survey revealed that only 52% of evangelicals hold to the doctrine of original sin. Denying or misunderstanding this fundamental doctrine not only distorts our understanding of reality, it has grave implications for other Christian doctrines. Clay Jones tackles this sobering doctrine in his article, Original Sin, Its Importance and Fairness. Other topics include the Effective Evangelism article, Apologetics Through Internet Videography by James Patrick Holding, a summary critique of Bart Ehrman's book, Forged, by Daniel B. Wallace. Hank Hanegraaff answers the question, did God create everything out of nothing? In the popular Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
A year ago at this time, CRI was submerged in an ocean of operational debt that forced us to pull back on some of our broadcasting stations, losing our ability to reach thousands of people with the truth. But God miraculously answered our prayers, completely erasing the anchor of debt through generous friends like you. Now, we're asking you to help us take the second vitally important step of reclaiming the land. Will you be a part of a veritable army of thousands that cumulatively can provide $500,000 by December 31st to reestablish our ministry on those stations? Please give as the Lord leads you so we can not only reclaim stations we had to abandon, but go on to new stations touching thousands who have never heard the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Donate by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, whatever you can give this month, please be generous. We need many of you to join with us in making a difference in the coming year, 2012. Together, you and I stand on the verge of taking the all-important truths of God's Word to more people than ever before. Just when those truths are under heaviest attack, every gift matters. So please send yours by December 31st. We only have a few days left to take this next crucial step in reclaiming the land for unprecedented ministry in 2012 and beyond. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Maria, listening in Atlanta, Georgia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Maria.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening. Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, I was wanting to know your views on Andrew Womack Ministries.
Yeah, I don't recommend him for the reasons that I mentioned in talking to some other callers today, and that is he is part of a cadre of pastors that are in this this word of faith movement, where faith is a force, words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, you create your own reality. I've written about this in Principle in Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. So, no, I don't recommend his ministry, and I've written about it in Principle in that very important book.
And Perry Stone, are you familiar with him and his...
Yeah, just a horrible misinterpretation of Scripture over and over again. And the words that come to mind when I think of him are selling and sensationalism, sophistry, and script torture, the torture of scriptural passages.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I look at a lot of Christian television network channels, TBN, TCT, and you know, it's kind of hard to even decipher what actual truth. I mean, I read the Bible, but sometimes it's hard to kind of discern.
Well, it is, and that's why we do what we do. We're a discernment ministry, and we help people in this regard. It's why I've written what I've written. We want people to be so familiar with the truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, you know it instantaneously, or when aberrant teachings emerge. And of course, Christian television is just a hotbed for aberrant teaching because they so often are purveyors of selling and sensationalism. And so we're on top of it. We have resources available to you so that you can discern wheat from chaff and heat from light.
Okay, well, I'm going to go to your website and, you know, look at some things because, you know, I watched Ask the Pastors and, you know, I come and I grab my Bible up and, you know, I write in or I call in to get, you know, some questions answered on air or whatnot. And they seem to be true, you know, pastors leading the flock. But then, you know, like I said, you just never know. And it's like when you're hungering and wanting truth, and I know the truth is in the Bible and I read it, but there are some things I'm like, oh, I don't know. And I go to the Christian bookstores, you know, you know, you get led this way, that way, that way, and you have all these books, and you're like, I'm still, you know.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know what's important is to become so familiar with the essentials of the historic Christian faith.
Yeah.
And with a proper method in the art and science of biblical interpretation, that whenever there's a counterfeit or an aberrant teaching, that you'll know it instantaneously. Mm-hmm. So you want to continue developing those discernment skills, and we're a discernment ministry, and that's why we produce the kinds of tools to help you. For example, I did a flip chart on essential Christian doctrine, and with that flip chart, you can become so familiar with the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And we always say this, an essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things, charity. The essentials are so important because they're the very doctrines that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Essential Christian doctrine is the North Star by which the course of Christianity is set. And as the North Star is an unchanging reference point, so Christian doctrine has safely guided the church through doctrinal storms. Essentially, essential Christian doctrine is the foundation upon which the gospel of Jesus Christ rests. So I think you should really become familiar with that. And then you have the plumb line. And again, I've put this together in a laminated 4x6 flip chart in a memorable way so you can actually remember the information.
Okay. And it's available on the website?
Yeah, just look for Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine.
Okay. All right, well, thank you so much, Hank.
God bless you. Thank you for your call, Maria. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Beth in Lima, Ohio, listening on XM 131. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay. I just wondered what you think about Christian churches, fundamental churches, not having church services on Christmas Day.
Well, you know, this year it's kind of odd because Sunday and Christmas Day are one and the same.
Right.
And we gather once a week on the first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. and the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, and the rest we have in Christ who liberates us from sin and the grave. And this year we have a twofer. We not only celebrate the resurrection on Resurrection Sunday, but we also celebrate the first advent of Jesus Christ. And so I think it's a wonderful tradition to gather together on the first day of the week, especially in these kinds of circumstances where we get to celebrate both Christmas and resurrection on the same day. But again, if a church wanted to change the calendar around this week, it wouldn't be the most horrible thing in the world. I mean, the big thing is that you spend this time remembering with family and friends that Jesus Christ has invaded time and space. Christmas is always a tradition at the end of the day. I mean, the very date that we select, December 25th, is arbitrary. It was not arbitrary in the sense that there was no meaning, but it was arbitrary in the sense that we don't know when Jesus Christ was actually born. What happened with early Christians is they instituted the 25th of December as a rival celebration to the paganism of Roman celebrations on that day, celebrating false gods. And so the rival celebration has become an institution. The institution shouldn't overwhelm the meaning that undergirds it.
Right. I guess it's just hard for me because I was raised in a very legalistic, you know, GRBC Baptist church. And I guess I just, you know, feel like the meaning of Christmas is Christ, and, you know, what kind of testimony is that to people that you're not even going to have, you know, when you routinely have church, you know, it's easy to explain to Christians maybe, but it's not easy to explain to, you know, Catholics or the unsaved, why aren't you having church on Christmas Day?
Well, you can explain that you just had it on Christmas Eve, or I mean, there are a lot of options.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I can certainly see celebrating Christmas on Christmas Eve. I can see celebrating Christmas Day with my family, reading a devotional, doing what a pastor might do within the context of my family, as I do every Christmas day. So, I understand what you're struggling with, but there are different possibilities that are equally wonderful in terms of recognizing and remembering and imprinting on the minds of your children the importance of Christ's first advent, his present advent, and the second advent that will come in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. And again, this is something that I've dealt with in my book, The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, because a common concern raised each year regarding the validity of celebrating Christ's coming is that when Christmas was originally instituted, December 25 was a pagan festival commemorating the birthday of a false god. And we have to, in response, recognize that this is substantially true. The Romans celebrated at the close of December Saturnalia, but they also thought that December 25 marked the day of the winter solstice, when they observed the pagan festival of Sol Invictus, the unconquerable sun, which was just in the act of turning about to aim northward once again. And that's a historical fact. But what is frequently overlooked, again, is the reason the early Christian church chose December 25 as their day of celebration. The purpose was not to Christianize a time of pagan revelry, but to establish a rival celebration. And as such, Christmas, or Christ's festival, was designated as a spiritually edifying holy day on which to proclaim the supremacy of the Son of God over superstitions concerning such gods as Saturn, the god of agriculture, or Sol Invictus, the unconquerable sun god. And we have to recognize that the world has all but forgotten the Greco-Roman gods of antiquity, but it is annually reminded that 2,000 years ago, Christ, the hope of humanity, invaded time and space and that because he invaded time and space, we have hope. And just as Christians perceive an even greater reality, so each year we celebrate the first advent of Christ and are simultaneously reminded of something that I mentioned just a moment again, and that is the second advent of Jesus Christ, in which the old order of things will pass away, and Christ our Lord will put all things to right. As the prophet Zechariah put it, "Shout and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for I am coming, and I will live among you, declares the Lord. Many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day and will become my people. I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you." Now, if you can't celebrate that, pray tell, what can you celebrate? Again, I've written about this in The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, which is available for your gift to the ministry. Makes an excellent gift this Christmas season so that people can fix their hearts on what's really important. Impress their children, because children today are swept up into the paganism of the Christmas celebration, oftentimes miss what we should be imprinting on the canvas of their consciousness, the celebration of Christ's first advent. Again, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Band broadcast. If you're hanging on, please do be patient. I'll get to you. If you're dialing in, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Again, you can call that number for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. I'll continue answering your calls for the next hour, and we'll play that on a day that I'm traveling in the very near future. Thanks for tuning in today. God bless you.
Before we leave the air, write down this number, 888-7000-CRI. That's CRI's resource line. Number again is 888-7000-CRI. Another way to go is to visit our website. Here's the address. It's equip.org. There, you'll find books, videos, DVDs, and commentaries on a multitude of topics. It's all available from one website, www.equip.org. And of course, you're welcome to write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the Book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. or call 888-7000-CRI.